Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
I invite you to mute as we sing our opening hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways,
to the glory of your name.
Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We say together the Jubilate, found on page 82 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song.
Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting,
and his faithfulness endures from age to age.
We will say responsively Psalm 149, found on your handout or on prayer book page 801. Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing his praise in the congregation of the faithful.
Let Israel rejoice in his maker.
Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king.
Let them praise his name in the dance.
Let them sing praise
to him with timbrel and harp.
The Lord takes pleasure in his people.
And adorns
the poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph.
Let them be joyful on their beds.
Let the praises of God be in their throat.
And a two-edged sword in their hand.
To wreak vengeance on the nations.
And turn on the peoples.
To bind their kings in chains.
And their nobles with links of iron.
To inflict on them the judgment decreed.
This is glory
for all his faithful people.
Hallelujah.
Our first reading is from the 12th chapter of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We will say together Canticle 21, found on page 95 of the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord,
we acclaim you.
You are the eternal Father, all creation worship you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church
acclaims you.
Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not shun
the virgin's womb.
You overcame the sting of death, and you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at
God's right hand in glory.
We believe that
you will come to be our judge.
Come then, Lord,
help your people.
Help
with the price of your own blood.
Bring us
to the glory
everlasting.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to mute as we sing our sequence hymn, Rise Up, Ye Saints of God, in the blue hymnal number 551.
Rise up, ye saints of God.
According to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you,
Lord Christ.
Jesus said, If another member of the church sins against you, go ahead and point out that fault to fall. When two of your own members listen to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Whoever refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If the offender refuses to listen, even to the church, let that also run to each Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it would be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I don't know about when you were in grade school, but when I was in grade school, one of the grades we got, or one of the evaluations we got, is how we played well with others or didn't play well with others. And I think about that, you know, along with math and science and reading and gym class, one of the important marks was how well did we play with others. I think when it comes to community, that can be a really challenging thing. And I think when it comes to Christian community, it can also be challenging. When it comes to community, we're called to care for each other, to love one another, and to love our neighbor. But that becomes difficult when the person is difficult. Or that becomes difficult when they are clearly in trouble, or when they disagree with us, or have different opinions than us, or do things differently from us. When people are clearly in trouble, when they're really outside the line, it can become even more difficult, more challenging to be in community with them. And what we're called to is to be in community. Jesus reminds us today, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am among you. And I don't know what it takes for us to remember when two or three are gathered in his name, that he is right there. He is with us. He's helping us in this relationship. What I know is when two or three are gathered, there's usually conflict, or at least a difference of opinion, or a different way of seeing the world. And the invitation is to say, so how do we build community with that reality? How do we go that one step next? So when I talk about conflict, dealing with conflict, the majority of us say, no thanks. I'll just turn away, avoid it, ignore it, overlook it. Now, we know there's some people in the world who enjoy conflict, who stir up conflict, who every conversation has got to be but that's not the majority of people. But what we know is we avoid certain topics, or we tread gently around them. And that's one way of avoiding conflict or dealing with conflict. But another way is to get together, two or three, gathered in Christ's name, and to work through it, to say, okay, so what do we do here to build community rather than tear down community? This past week, I was reading excerpts from the Episcopal Handbook, and one of them caught my attention, of course, made me smile. How to tell a saint from a sinner. Sorry, other way around. How to tell a sinner from a saint. And when I think about that, it's really easy for us to say, yeah, we know who's who. And I think about people I've known in my life who designate whether that was a Christian action or not. And they look at people and they say, well, that's not very Christian, or that's not very Christian. But what I also know is that we know we're all sinners. The little article went on to say, can the finite bear the infinite? And that made my head hurt for a minute. Can the finite bear the infinite? And that means, can our human bodies, our human life, our human foibles also bear, hold up, embrace the infinite, the sacred, the divine, the holy? In the early church, there was a lot of disagreement about whether Jesus Christ was fully human or fully divine, or both. And those who argued that he was fully human said he was born of Mary. He was flesh and blood. And so they argued that Jesus was fully human only. And then there were those who argued that Jesus was fully divine. God would not beget a human being. God would only beget something that was fully divine. And what the church came to is that Jesus wasn't either or. Jesus wasn't 50-50 or 30-70. Jesus was 100% human and 100% divine. And what that means for us, Jesus being 100% human knows our temptations, knows our challenges, knows our shortcomings, knows us, knows pain, knows betrayal, knows love. And at the same time, he is God, knows God, lives in the divine, and can teach us how to hold both. And when it comes to us, in our baptism, we are fully human. We are born sinners, and we know that we sin with almost every thought, word, and deed. Sinning meaning falling short of the mark, falling short of being divine in every action. We know we're human. We know we make mistakes. We know we have good days, bad days. Yet at the same time in our baptism, we have died and become alive in Christ. Christ lives within us. We hold that divine spark. We are both saint and sinner. And this little article then asks, Well, say we're 35% sinner and 65% divine. Can we change that? Can we become a little less sinner? Can we work really, really, really hard and get rid of it all? And what we know is some of us may have tried really, really, really hard. Some of us maybe not so much, but it's really hard to change. It's not our human nature. It's not where we naturally go. And the gospel writers also agreed with that. Timothy in 1 Timothy says, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. Worthy of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Timothy acknowledged that although he was walking with Christ, that he wrote one of the books that one of the letters that 2,000 years later continues to inform the church, and that he was one of the foremost sinners. And we know Paul, who has wrestled with that thorn in his side, wrestled with his humanity. And in Romans 5:8, he said, but God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He also says in 7:19, I do not do the good I want, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. The evil I do not want is what I do. Christ is with us. Christ is in us. Christ leads us and guides us. And yet, we still fall short. And part of that falling short is falling short when it comes to Christian community, when it comes to being in community with others, when it comes to figuring out how to work through the conflicts, how to build each other up rather than tear each other down. Jesus says over and over again, love God, love your neighbor. And we know within the depth of our heart that that's the easiest to do when we really like them. But what do we do when we don't really like them? Or when somebody in community is doing something that breaks the community. And that's what the gospel is talking about today. When Jesus is instructing us, when somebody is sinning in a way that breaks community. And he says, if you know of this, if you are aware of it, not through the grapevine, but if you know of someone's behavior, be a mature adult and go and talk to them about it. And then he continues, but if the person continues in that behavior, that sinning behavior that breaks down community, take somebody else with you. Go together and address the situation. And then he said, if it still continues, you're really at risk. The community is at risk. You're really in trouble. It's going to take more than just going to that person privately. But what we need to know as a community is when that happens in community, when that division, that conflict, that sinning, that brokenness invades community, it harms the whole community. It puts the whole community at risk. And Jesus reminds them again, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am with you. You're not in this alone. You're not dealing with sin in your own sin. You're dealing with the divine in someone else and the divine in you with the divine present. Because we are called to love God and love each other. And Jesus knows that's a really hard thing to do. He tells us in another parable that there's 100 sheep, one wanders off. Jesus leaves the 99 to tend for themselves while he goes after that other one so that not a one may be lost. And I think about if we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't let one brother or sister wander off and say, oh, well. We don't spend one phone call, one visit, one note and say, oh, well. They're part of the family, and we go after until we are together, until it's resolved. We are blessed at St. James that we have a strong, loving, faith-filled community that reaches out to each other, supports each other, challenges each other, and acknowledges that we have differences of opinion, but can still worship together, worship the same Christ together. We are blessed in that. And we have found many ways to support each other and to work together through differences. But what we know in the world right now is that's not the case. There is such divisiveness in politics and how to manage the pandemic and racial tension and the list goes on and on and on. So much divisiveness that anytime a topic comes up, there's immediate clashing. Everybody's tension immediately rises. And no good can come of that. That's at the third level of what Jesus was talking about. Then community is in danger, at risk. But Jesus reminds us, he's with us. He is in us. He is before us. He is behind us. He is around us. And when we turn to him in those difficult conversations, he is with us and will lead us and guide us. Acknowledging at the same time that we are human, fully human, and we get our feelings hurt, and we have bad days where we say things that we didn't mean or that they came out wrong, but that we can work past that. Paul today in Romans says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. And then he lists the commandments. You already know that you shouldn't commit adultery. You shouldn't murder. You shouldn't steal. You already know that. But he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. That's Paul's invitation to us today. And when he says that, he also says it's time to wake up. Wake up and get this done before the divisions become so great that they can't be healed, is what he's saying to us. We already know the commandments. We don't steal. We don't commit adultery. We don't murder. But do we love our neighbor as Christ loves us? And so that's the invitation today. It's time to wake up, to listen to these teachings, and to learn how to build up community. Amen. I invite you into a minute of silence. I invite you to join together as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 96 or in your handout. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you.
Let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us
in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Elect of the day, grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Collect for Sundays. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Collect for Mission. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
People is Form 6, found on your insert and prayer book and page 392. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families,
friends, and neighbors, and those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all the work of justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, and injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, for Prince, our bishops, for Lynn and Gary, our priests, and all other bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God and the Church, for the special needs
and concerns of this congregation. We pray for Morgan, Julian Ben, Jean, Alan, Carol, Betty and Richard, Adrian, Kevin, Janet, Darlene and John, Tammy, Peggy and George, Bob, Jackie, Jen, Jamil, Brian, Dan, Ellen, Marietta and Jim, Baby Eliza and family, Paige and Michael, Michael S., Stephen, Alicia, Jennifer and family, Doug, Tammy S., Jerry, Phil, James, John, Amy, Lindsay, Holly, Sean, Kurt, Gina, Muriel, Charlie, Raymond, Renee, Heather, Eva, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, and those in the military, and those who mourn.
For 51 years of marriage for Jim and Leah.
Shelley and Ashlyn.
Pray for Richard.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
We thank you for the marriage of Seth and America. Okay.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And pray for the living forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you. O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to join with me in saying the general thanksgiving found on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for
all your goodness and loving kindness
to us and to all you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your
immeasurable love,
redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ,
for the means of grace,
and we pray, Lord, give us such an awareness of
your mercy,
we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in
our lives,
by giving up ourselves to your service
and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days.
through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. I invite you to mute as we sing our closing hymn, God of Grace, God of Glory. It's hymnal number 594.
Thank you.
the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Just a couple of quick announcements. First of all, happy Labor Day. I hope you're all enjoying and honoring the laborers as well as enjoying the last official weekend of summer. And I sent out an email. I'm not sure how many read it, but thank you for sending cards for the nursing home, Taylor Nursing Home. We sent almost 500 cards over the last 6 months to the residents, and they are so grateful for that. At the same time, I'm thinking that teachers, staff, administration of the school could really use just a short note offering our support, our encouragement, our prayers, and our love. So don't put a name on it, but just a short note saying, we really appreciate what you're doing. We're thankful for you. We're holding you in prayer. You can drop it off on my porch. You can call me and I'll pick it up on your porch. But I'd really like to flood the school with our notes of encouragement as school returns. And I think that's it. Stay for coffee hour. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. Thanks,
Thank you.
Welcome back, Tom and Carol.
And they're already gone.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Hello there, Hannah. Good to see you in person, sort of, you know.
Good to see you too.
I love that we have people from here and there and everywhere that join us.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Great.
And I wasn't there for the Ring of Fire, but I saw pictures on Facebook this morning.
It was beautiful. It was a little chilly, though, and then it rained.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, did you stay in the lake as it rained?
No, I got out of the lake. I got in the lake, though, I did. But I didn't stay in, not for long, anyway.
And Gail, how are you this morning?
Oh, not too bad. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. All healed up. My hands look like hands again.
Yay.
Oh, that's good. Because I left the message saying that my sister Ellen got bit too. And we're thinking it was a wasp. Her finger had swollen up. She didn't go into the emergency room. And I was just wondering what all that you did for your bite.
Benadryl and ice.
Benadryl. You get that, what, in a cough medicine, or you have to have a doctor's prescription, or what?
So I'm not a doctor. I can't give advice, especially. but you can buy it in the drugstore.